Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, fans and followers, to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. I'm your host, Layla Smolak. Tune in, share your views on any episode. The number to call is 1-773-897-6223. It is a long-distance call. Velocity Athletic Training Radio is now on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and Podomatic. Advertise your products and services on Velocity Athletic Training Radio. Visit me at www.advertisecast.com/613. I also want to thank Accelerated Ideas for the great library of complimentary intro music for podcasts. Check them out at www.accelerated-ideas.com/freemusictrack. In my last episode, I discussed the role of your personal trainer, as well as our immigration story on both sides of the border. And I want to thank Anonymous for the wonderful comment. It is certainly appreciated. The petition is still live, so please, if you know, you're in support of voicing your opinions about what we've gone through, by all means, sign the petition. The more support, the better voices are heard. All right. Today, I will discuss the role of your personal trainer, part two. So I mentioned in the previous episode that I will take a look on the flip side of the coin. What are the cons of hiring a personal trainer? Now, I do not want to emphasize the word con, all right? So instead, we'll take a closer look at the process of being a personal trainer and how that process benefits you, the client. So in my last episode, I mentioned certification, you know, very important, obviously. You can't be a mechanic trying to train someone, right, without the knowledge of the human body. So while there are many certifying bodies out there in the industry and, of course, easily accessible to anyone wishing to embark on this rewarding career, it is important to understand the process a trainer goes through during and after certification. I personally recommend the Canadian Fitness Education Services, which is located in Summerland, BC. It is a 100% Canadian written and designed by Margaret Zaitlin. The course loads include a segment on personal training as well as weight training. Okay, and they're in-depth courses. Okay, we cover physiology, motor skills, all the most important subjects pertaining to the human body. Now, once a trainer has completed the course, of course, you know, we need to write an exam and be evaluated by conducting a mock training session. And now every province within Canada is different in how a trainer is evaluated. I'm not sure about the United States, but there are many certifying bodies in the United States as well. Secondly, depending where a trainer decides to offer his or her services, your training environment is just as important as your trainer's certification process. All right, so the training environment is truly a reflection of your personal trainer. When you really stop to think about this, the training environment should first and foremost be a safe environment where you know you will not get injured during your training session. Your training environment should also be free from any form of bullying and abuse. Okay, I'm not talking about your trainer, you know, turning around and hitting you with weights or anything like that. I'll give you an example. You know, I had been a manager a few years ago of a fitness facility in British Columbia for a good 8 years. You know, and I allowed other trainers to come in and use the facility to train their own clientele as long as they bought a gym membership for their clients. So, you know, it's a win-win situation. I'm not taking any money from the trainer, but at the same time, they're investing in our facility by purchasing a membership for their client. Anyhow, one day I was training my own client while another outside trainer was training her client. And I would guess the age of this client must have been at least over 55 years old. Well, I tell you, my client and I felt so bad for this fellow. Basically, he really couldn't put in another extra 10 push-ups. He had already stopped and was laying flat out on the floor, looking exhausted, with his trainer yelling at him. Okay? You know what? You want to motivate people? Great. You know, I agree with motivating. I mean, I have to motivate clients. But when a trainer starts to raise the tempo in their voice, it's time to really step back and think, okay, is this motivation or am I being yelled at? Am I being bullied? Okay, there is that element to that. So the style of training your trainer offers is important as well. Okay, do you prefer the boot camp drill type trainer where you give up before you've reached your goals, such as the situation that I witnessed? And by the way, I did have a professional discussion with the personal trainer the next day, not about her style of training. You know what? That's her forte. Great. What I did discuss were safety concerns. Okay, if a client is already exhausted beyond exhaustion and ends up having a heart attack, well, hello, it's liability issues as well. Okay, safety and liability, very important factors to look at. And of course, that should be integrated in your personal trainer's environment. Okay, so that's another process. Experience and how much knowledge does your trainer demonstrate? So this goes back to certification, goes back to, of course, education. Both go hand in hand, and of course, the more experience, the more knowledge, and vice versa. Do want to mention that ongoing knowledge, or need I say the attendance of fitness conferences and or workshops, should be a personal prerequisite of your trainer. Okay, so they need to take that their very own initiative to stay abreast of what changes are happening within the fitness industry, which is, you know, by the way, is the fitness industry is in constant change. So if your trainer is up to date, awesome. It's a huge plus for you. Accountability. Okay, so the thought pattern is if you hire a personal trainer, it makes you, the client, accountable to showing up for your sessions, right? On the flip side, remember, Layla loves the flip side. There's always two sides to the coin. Your trainer is just as accountable for being there for you, the client. He or she is responsible for your health and well-being and is therefore accountable to ensure you achieve this in a timely fashion. right? So if you've paid so and so X number of dollars for a certain amount of time, and you want to lose weight with depending on what your goals are, and within that amount of time you haven't achieved those goals, then your trainer is accountable to you. Okay, so you need to question, why have I not these goals? Was my trainer accountable to me? All right, training in a large facility versus a studio. Personally, this is just me, I prefer the more intimate one-to-one studio where each client receives 100% of my attention. And this is the clientele I attract. If you prefer the busy, loud music environment as your source of stimulation, hey, then go for it. But ensure that your environment is safe and clean. Last but not least, I have the utmost respect for anybody or anyone embarking on this amazing career. Personal trainers, in my eyes, are special people. I've always looked at other trainers as healers. We are ambassadors. Okay, we are healers. We are passionate about what we do. And the bottom line is, we help you reach your health and wellness goals. All right? Thoughts to ponder. This ties in well with what we're talking about, self-love. Okay? When we hire anyone to help us, whether it's in health and wellness or any situation, we need to stop and think about this self-love. Some may look at self-love as being narcissistic, self-absorbed, or ego-driven, or egotistical. Wrong. The definition of self-love is having regard for your very own well-being and happiness. The saying, how can you love others if you cannot love yourself? This rings true. Love really begins within, and when you process of accepting yourself, of accepting your faults, your good, bad, your inner being, and admit that you truly, truly love yourself. Release your guilt as well. Okay, that's part of, when you start to love yourself, you gotta release the guilt. You then begin the process of emanating that love to others. So a few steps, things that I've thought of in my own, very own process. Number one, okay, and I tell clients this. Let go of what no longer serves your higher good, okay? And you need to set the bar. You need to set the bar of what you consider to be your highest good. This is a painful process to go through because it means letting go of places, people, things, attachments to things that no longer serve you and that only bring you down and not lift you up. Okay, it's hard to let go. Focus on using positive words, positive thoughts, positive, start feeling positive in your emotions in relation into how you view yourself. Okay, looking in the mirror is really, really important. It's not just to groom yourself. Our self-image, our thought patterns, our emotional patterns are embedded within us, beginning at our earliest stages of life, childhood. And by whom? Who's our first guide? Our very own family. Okay? We don't want to lay blame on the family unit. But what we can do is look inside and realize, am I truly a mirror image of mom and dad? So at this stage, you may need to reprogram thoughts, old emotions, right? And let go. Set your boundaries. Create an imaginary bubble, or better yet, strengthen your auric field. I did do a show on the aura. Dream. Set your goals. Manifest. Realize and understand how important you truly are and what you have to share with the world and the impact you have to the people who care and matter the most in your life. I am Layla Smolak, host of Velocity Athletic Training Radio and owner of Velocity Athletic Training Studio. Visit me at Visit me at www.velocityathletictraining.com. All right, this ends the episode, The Role of Your Personal Trainer, Part 2. I am now over and I am out. Have a wonderful day.